laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen, your Dave's bread obsessed, ice coffee MacGyvering, feeling very thankful for the seltzer industry friend.
And I'm Bethany, your over-caffeinated, unsure about the future, I'm wearing high heels at home to feel powerful friend.
And every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about
what to do when you feel just overwhelmed in life. I've done like very similar topics before, but I feel like once again, I'm feeling overwhelmed in life. And I found an article that just hit the right spot for me in this time. And so I want to share it with you. If you are feeling kind of overwhelmed about small things or like, I can't get out of bed, big things.
Well, you have my attention. I am sitting at your feet waiting for you to tell us the story.
What about you, Kathleen? What are you talking about?
And this week, I am doing a rundown of really strange news that's been happening lately. One of the things, which I cannot believe we haven't discussed yet, which is the new UFO task force that the Pentagon has put together.
Ooh.
Wow, wow. And also, there's a graveyard for discontinued ice cream flavors, and I can't wait to tell you all about it.
Oh, I'm excited about that. Yeah, there's been UFO news in the news, but everything else is such a mess that the UFO news has really gone under the radar, which is kind of amazing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've wanted disclosure for decades and
for all of eternity.
Yeah. Things are finally happening and we're like too overwhelmed to even pay attention. How is your week going, Kathleen, so far? It's a Friday as we record this, so whatever.
Yeah, it's a Friday. We're recording this on a different day than usual. I went to a tile store yesterday. When was the last time you went into a tile store?
Never. Is it just a store filled with beautiful tiles?
Yes, but also awful, gaudy tiles, like amazing tiles, but then also the ugliest mosaics, like so over the top gaudy. And I was with my mom and my brother. We're picking out some tiles for my mom's house. And we went into this section called the Versace tile section.
Is it actually made by Versace?
I don't know. I think it's different than the clothing brand. And I'm just like, who walks into this room and is like, yes.
What did it look like?
Yes. That mosaic of a Greek goddess on my floor with tiny little gold tiles in all different shades. That is perfect for my house. Like, who says
that? Wait, that is perfect for my house.
No,
I would do that.
Awful. It makes me want to open a tile store called Good Taste Tiles.
Bitch, I would never shop at that store. I want the full mosaic. They'll come in and they'll do a mosaic on your wall.
Yeah, Bethany, whatever you can dream of can be done with tile in your home.
Can I get a mosaic of my own face on the wall?
Yes, you can. You absolutely can.
Like, you know how Lego, you can like upload a picture and Lego will give you the Legos to make your own face on a Lego thing? Like, I want that, but mosaics. I want that, but artisans.
We should take a mosaic class together once the world opens back up. Yeah.
I would love that. I want to learn how to cut tile.
Yeah. You know, they definitely have those classes in New York City. I have a friend who has a mosaic like side table in her house and she made it in New York City. She took a class.
Yeah. No, we're doing that for sure. So what other tile do you consider gaudy versus what tile do you consider tasteful?
I don't know, Bethany. It's hard to describe. Good Taste Tile is going to be a shop where, you know, hipster bathrooms, like, sort of plain, but the colors are great, but it's like a lot of subway tile.
Subway tiles and Edison bulbs.
And Edison bulbs and penny tile. That's going to be my tile store. So it's like for a house that's not a mansion, like people who just have regular amounts of money.
What's penny tile?
Penny tile is those, they look like little pennies, but not color pennies. They're just little tiny round tiles.
Oh, gotcha.
They're sort of like a classic. Sometimes you walk into bathrooms and they're black and white and the flowers are in the black tile. And anyway.
Okay,
that's my gripe about tiles this week. So what's up with you?
Things are good. So we got amazing news a couple of weeks ago that we weren't able to announce until yesterday, which is our film Lonely Hearts, which I've been talking about for a while, got accepted into the Nashville Film Festival, which is a really huge deal. Because the Nashville Film Festival is an Academy Award qualifier, which means that if you win certain awards at this festival, you qualify to basically apply for the Academy Awards. And so it's just very, it's, I think this is its 51st year. I mean, this is a really prestigious film festival. It's not like, you know, your local bar and tavern film festival, which is also great, but this is a very legit one. And this is a really huge deal. So we got to announce that last night, and that's incredibly exciting.
Congratulations, yeah, Bethany.
So thank you. And there will be lots of chances to watch it. We have a lot of film festivals coming up. So I'm excited.
Also, congratulations to Dennis. Now, here's my question. If you guys win an Academy Award, who's going up on stage to accept that award? Is it you? Is it Dennis? Is it a combination of the two of you?
I mean, I think it's probably not going to happen. It's the longest long shot ever. But I would send Dennis up there. Mm-hmm. And then Dennis would grab my hand to try to pull me up too, because he is a gentleman. Mm-hmm. But also then it would just, all of our time would be used with us fighting over like who was going up and me not wanting to go up and him go, and it would be incredibly frustrating.
Girl,
and then the music would play.
You go up. If your movie was an Academy Award, Bethany, you get your ass, you stop being so demure and like, you know, like very like, oh, you know, it's no big deal. You get your ass up on that stage and you're like, I want to thank my mom. I want to thank my cats. I want to thank my podcasting partner, Kathleen. If you don't mention me, we're divorced. If you don't mention
me. No, I will mention you. Thanks. Here's my question. Mm-hmm. You know, the Academy Awards, you probably get a plus one. Yeah. So it would only be able to be Dennis and me.
Yeah.
Who is going to watch my purse if I go up and he goes up and a seat filler comes in and sits down? Who's gonna watch my purse?
You know, I don't think that you need to bring a lot of money to the Academy Awards. You can leave your purse on the seat. And if it gets taken, it gets taken. Like, put your lip color in your bosom, because that's all you really need for the night, right?
Okay, fair.
Are you familiar with Dave's Bread?
Dave's Killer Bread?
Yes.
Hell yeah, I am.
I discovered at Whole Foods yesterday that they make hamburger buns.
Really?
And I had a turkey sandwich for breakfast today, and I toasted those Dave's Killer hamburger buns and put some turkey on there, and it was the damn best thing I've ever had. What is it about Dave's Bread that's just so good?
It's got a lot of seeds in it, right? I feel like it has. Is it the same for the buns?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Like, does it taste good because we're in our 30s?
I think when you're 10, you just want white bread. I don't know if that's changed at all.
It's all I ever wanted, and my mom never gave it to me, and I used to be so jealous of the kids who had white bread.
Yeah, I know, same. And we had, I'm trying to remember what we had. I think we had our, like, excuse me, I'm dying, our family, which was like the local store brand.
Mm.
And my brother-in-law's family called it our poor family, because it's what you bought if you were poor. So I think our family bread was probably quote unquote wheat, but there were no actual seeds to be found.
Gotcha.
In that bread.
Yeah, well, I mean, back in the 90s, seeds weren't a very there was 9 grain bread and that was it. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I remember Oprah saying that if it had wheat in it, it still wasn't necessarily good for you. Because Oprah was really struggling with her relationship with bread in the 90s. Mm-hmm. She had not yet come to the conclusion that she loves bread.
Well, you know what? It had to be whole grain, which is what Dr. Oz says. It can, you know, even wheat, if it's not whole grain, that's not good for you. So you have to turn it over and find that little whole grain sticker on the back of it.
There's so much.
Pulling back the curtain a little bit, you and I have been hanging out all morning because we're working on a very special episode for Labor Day. We're going to release it the Wednesday before Labor Day, and it is called What's Your Job?
What's Your Job? And yeah, so we've been doing interviews with people who have really cool, interesting jobs and talking to them about their jobs. And yeah, it's involved a lot of like us meeting up on days where, well, not meeting up, Zoom meeting up on days where we don't normally see each other. How are you hanging in there? Are you getting your fill of like Bethany?
Yes.
Are you quite finished?
Bethany, I love you so much. I would look at you every single day if I could.
Oh, like, you're
I
really so would. Nice.
Especially today. You've got these really cute sort of like almost very slightly cat-shaped tortoiseshell eyeglasses, and you're wearing a very cool band t-shirt. You look amazing, girl.
Thank you. You told me, you said the sweetest thing before we started recording. You said, oh, you're wearing tortoiseshell glasses in a graphic tee. You look like me. And I was like, yes.
You look so good, Bethany. You look like me.
We should make a t-shirt with that on it. You look amazing. You look just like me.
Do you want to read a little pillow update from Altersport?
Yes. So if you remember, several weeks ago, we read an email from a taste bud who was wondering what to do regarding a celebrity, a rapper, who had been sort of flirting with her on Instagram, and she didn't know what to do. And he also had a girlfriend with children involved. Mm-hmm. And we called him Lil Pillow.
Yeah. Because he was the brother of a big time rapper.
Yeah, he was like, the brother of Pillow.
Pillow is the big time rapper.
Yeah, so Lil Pillow. So she emailed us back and she said, I felt the need to fill y'all in on Pillow and the Lil Pillow situation. Since you mentioned it a little on the podcast. Get it?
Haha.
She says, I talked to Lil Pillow. And he literally said that he just wanted to be my friend since I'm an outspoken ally for the Black Lives Matter movement and have an Obama tattoo on me. He was just being friendly, it seemed. Since then, I'm in a group chat with Pillow and Lil Pillow and four other fans, and I got to talk to Pillow on Sunday via Zoom. She says, no worries, I didn't wreck any homes, but I secured some tickets for the next concert. Just wanted to give you guys an update. So I'm glad that no homes are being wrecked.
Mm-hmm.
And
but she sent us a screenshot of her Zoom call with Pillow, and it was definitely Pillow.
Yeah, it was easy to tell it was Pillow. Yeah, I think it goes back to what we were talking about a couple episodes before, which is, you know, if you're flirting with someone who's a celebrity, just be aware that there's a power imbalance, and you know, be aware that they may just be being nice and friendly, and sometimes it's hard to tell the difference, so protect yourself. But I'm glad that everything has worked out.
Speaking of a power imbalance, there's a celebrity who has taken over / ruined my life.
Oh no, what's happening? Is it Gwyneth?
It is Lou Vega.
Mambo number 5?
I cannot get Mambo number 5 out of my head. I can't sleep at night because I'm just singing it to myself. I'm like, Jessica, da-da-da, Rita, da-da, and I can't sleep at night, Bethany.
Okay, what
I can't
brought this
sleep
on? Because Mambo number 5 came out in like 1996.
I don't know. I have no idea. It's just in my head and it won't leave me alone. It's the ghost of Christmas past that's like, don't go to sleep, Kathleen. Wake up and think about everything you've done wrong in your life.
When did this song get into your
No idea.
Head?
No idea.
You don't know when. So this song came out in.
I think I was listening to a 90s playlist last week, and it's plagued me ever since. Like, what keeps you up at night, Bethany? Is it Mambo number 5?
I can tell you it's not. when did. What spits and bobs? I think. Hold on. I'm just distracted trying to figure out when this fucking song came out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. My.
Hey, Siri. When did Mambo number 5 come out? It's not working. I'm trying to talk to my new computer. Which, by the way, is fabulous.
99, I think she just said.
Did she?
What keeps me up at night? I think the idea that everything I'm doing is leading to failure, and also hating my clothes. I think it's like an equal part existential crisis, and also anytime I find something that I think is cute to wear, I immediately get bored with it. So I think it's like a really heavy stuff and really light stuff. And also like missing orange juice. I haven't had orange juice in a really long time. I'm craving it.
Bethany, that is the most first world problem I've ever heard.
I know. It's awful. It's awful.
I took some advice from you.
What's
that? And I think I previously talked about this on the podcast, but it got too long, so I cut it out. I took everything out of my closet that doesn't fit me, and I only have things in there that fit me. And it's pretty amazing to open up my closet and be able to put anything on. So, I mean, maybe you should do that.
Are you still
trying to buy pieces so you have better quality pieces in your closet? Like, is that still part of your agenda?
I'm trying to. Here's the hard thing is because it's still not really totally safe to go out and shop. Yeah. And a lot of places, their fitting rooms are closed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be spending more money on pieces that will last longer but are higher priced if I can't try them on. So I am finding myself kind of going back to doing a lot of like eBay shopping. I'm doing a lot of Poshmark shopping.
Love it.
And yeah, I think that that's probably the way to go right now. But it is, I think that there's something psychological happening where as soon as I put on a piece of clothing, it loses its luster because I liked it better on someone else than
Stop
I like it on me.
Stop
it's like
it.
When
I
you
can't.
Shop at someone else's closet, you like their clothes better than your own.
Bethany, I can't. I can't with you right now.
I think we're – no, Kathleen, I think we're losing – I am slowly, Kathleen, losing my freaking mind. I think I have hit the point now where I am insufferable and it's time for me to like – leave my house and do something.
Well, I'll tell you why it's dangerous to leave your house. I went to the supermarket and some a-hole didn't have his mask on. And I was like, sir, put your mask on. And he told me at the top of his lungs to suck his cock.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, there's always that joy, too, when you decide to go out in the world. And then he did some more food shopping and came back for round two to yell at me again. I mean, it's insanity. I was at the supermarket.
And here's the thing. He put you in a lose-lose situation because had you taken him up on his offer, he also would have screamed at you for, you know, asking a C.
Yeah, I know.
He probably wouldn't have liked it.
And I am kicking myself for not yelling back at him. If you had one, I would. Like, why didn't I say that in the moment?
Because you were traumatized by someone screaming at you in a public place. I don't know. Maybe there's that.
I just said, oh, wow, you're an asshole. That's all I could come up with. That was like the best thing I could come up with.
You know what?
What the fuck?
That's good enough. Don't yell at people in public.
No. And wear your damn mask.
Yeah, put it on. I was walking behind a woman who had hers hanging from her wrist. And I wanted to say, oh, thank God your wrist is protected. But again, I didn't want her to yell at me and tell me to S or C.
Yeah.
So I didn't say anything.
I've been saying stuff to people. I just don't care anymore. I was at the mall the other day because I had to return something to the Apple store. And there's no other way to – like, it was an item that I couldn't send back. And yeah. There was a woman, like, she left a store. She's still in the mall, but she walks out of the Gap. And she takes her mask off. But you're still in the mall.
You're still in the mall. That's indoor still. Dude, I think we're all getting to the point where, like – we are going to just start screaming at each other. I have screamed at people in public recently. It does feel really good. The moment that your hinge comes off and now you are officially unhinged mm-hmm. is a certain level of freedom. Like, I have found myself more and more really dreaming of the day when I can just become a crazy recluse. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm just craving that freedom.
Yeah. But the second you become that, then people start taping you and the media spins it differently. And then you lose everything that you've ever loved in your life.
That's true.
You know?
I mean, I think you have to just weigh the pros and cons. Like, am I ready? Like, when everyone in your life just becomes so annoying that you're not afraid to lose them all, yeah. that's when you get to become unhinged. And who cares? Who cares? Who cares? There's a freedom in no longer caring. And if that means you lose your home, so be it. You know what? What? You have the freedom.
If that means you don't wear shoes anymore and you only wear Birkenstocks with socks, who cares?
So be it.
Who cares?
You know what? I hate all of my clothes anyway. I might as well just not have any and, you know, let the ones that I'm currently wearing fall into rags and disrepair as long as it gives me the freedom to just scream at people on the sidewalk.
Yeah, great.
Great.
Speaking of clothes, I have a question for you. Do you have any of those undie pants, that period undie pants?
Yeah, I'm wearing a pair right now. Bless up.
And you like them? What's the brand you're wearing?
Please hold. Ugh. I'm wearing a tight shirt and tight pants. So I have to,
Yeah, when you arch your back.
Hanes.
Though. Hanes.
Hanes got them in a 3-pack at the Kmart at Penn Station.
Wait, no. So those are the undies that absorb your period?
Oh, no, not those. I thought you meant like the kind that you wear when you have your period and feel gross.
Oh.
No, I don't have those. What are they?
Yeah,
I've heard of them.
I don't know. Thinks or something like that. There's a couple of brands, I think.
Yeah.
They're on sale today. And I'm like, should I buy a pair? Should I not buy a pair? Do you think
they
really
should.
Work? They're on sale 30% off and a summer sale, but they're still expensive, like more than $20 for one single pair.
Question.
Yeah.
Wait. Okay. You wear them in lieu of
pads or tampons.
So then how do you wash them?
Yeah. You wash them after you wear them. They have all different kinds. Like this pair is like wearing a tampon and a half. This pair is like wearing 4 tampons.
I thought you were going to say this pair is like wearing a tampon and a hat. And I was like, ooh, a hat. Wait, so then what do you just like wring them out?
Yeah, and then you take them off and throw them in the wash and you put on your next pair depending on how heavy your cycle is.
Ah.
I'm interested in them, but I'm wondering if they really work. So I don't know. Maybe I'll buy one pair, I'll let you know.
Let's get some and then let's do the thing where we take a test tube filled with blue liquid and we pour that blue liquid into the underwear.
And see how much they absorb.
Okay, I have so many questions. What happens when you sit down?
There must be a lining where it doesn't go through.
Because I feel like it's going to go, I don't want to get, but you know.
Yeah. You don't want to get gross.
Yeah. If you fill a sponge with water.
Yeah.
And then you sit on that sponge.
Yeah. I see what you mean. Yeah. I don't know. Gentle listener, if anyone has tried the period panties that are out there, I don't even like the word panties. Gotchies? No.
Underwears.
Underwears. Let me know.
So I grew up in a test city. So we got, you know, a bunch of different products sent to us before they went to like the mass market.
Yeah.
And we got these things called Envive mini forms. And I know I've talked about them before. They never came to market because I'll tell you why. They looked like tiny, like if you took a cotton round instead of a cotton ball, but like the flat rounds.
Yeah.
And just sort of folded up like a taco.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put it in between your labia and let your labia like hold it in and up. And it had a little tab on the bottom so you could pull it back out. And it that was supposed to like just keep all of the period stuff in your body until you went to the bathroom, and then it would all come out.
Goosh.
And it didn't work. My mom's colleague said it would last one sneeze.
And then,
it wouldn't work. But my friend's Sherry mom loved them so much that she bought out the Shopco.
Stop.
And bought all of them because she wanted to skew the results. And I think she still has them.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Shout out to Envive Miniforms.
I've heard people doing that with when CDs were still a thing, sending their like sending each of their friends $500 in different cities and sending them to CD stores to buy out like the entire collection of their new albums. So the yep. record companies would be like, wow, we're so glad we gave you this, you know, rookie record deal.
Yeah, yeah. All of the money that you spent on yourself, now you have nothing left, but you know, it's worth it.
Or modern day times, how you put something on Instagram and then you text your friends, please go comment right now.
Oh yeah, you do that, and then you take all of your like other accounts. Like if I post something on Instagram, I'll like it from Minerva's account, and then I'll like yep. it from the podcast account.
Yes.
You gotta get that engagement up.
Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen.
Let's talk about plant-based protein.
I love protein powder. I feel like it's the easiest way for me to get protein, especially before or after working out.
I also love protein powder. A little chocolate protein powder in the blender with ice and almond milk right after a workout, or maybe as a breakfast supplement in the morning with a little bit of fruit on the side. It is my favorite way to get the nutrients that I need. And I am obsessed with this new product that Bethany and I are both using. It's called Truvani.
Truvani is a protein powder that is completely plant-based, so it's good for your vegan friends. And the best thing about it is they have just a few ingredients. All of the ingredients are ingredients you can recognize. There's nothing like xanthan gum. There's no quote-unquote natural flavors that you don't actually know what they are. And because the protein powder has such great ingredients in it, it's so fine. It blends so perfectly with your stuff.
Truvani is the only protein drink that I've had that actually tastes good. And I've tried all different kinds of plant-based protein drinks, and they're always like nasty and gritty yeah. and chalky, but not Truvani. And the chocolate is so creamy and rich. And even though I'm a chocolate person, I like their vanilla too, because it's really smooth and tasty. My husband never likes these things. I made it for him the other day and he was like, wow, this is actually really good. And I was like, yeah, duh, Truvani.
Yeah, you better listen to me. With 20 grams of protein per serving, Truvani is going to keep you going all day. It's the ultimate healthy fast food.
So if you're thinking about adding more protein to your diet, you have to check out Truvani. It's the healthy way to do it. Plus, it's USDA organic and vegan certified.
Today, Truvani has a special opportunity for our listeners. Get a protein powder gift pack, including a full-sized bag, your choice of flavors, for a full 50% off. Plus, you get free gifts from Truvani. We love a gift.
This is a $99 value that's yours for just $29.99. That's a lot of money saved.
Yeah. To get the full protein powder gift pack for just $29.99 plus free gifts, text TASTE to 64,000.
Again, all you have to do is text TASTE, T-A-S-T-E, to 64,000 for this amazing offer from Truvani. Text TASTE to 64,000.
I'm having heart palpitations. I think I had too much coffee.
Or you're nervous about something. What are you nervous about, Bethany?
I mean, everything. Everything, Kathleen. I'm falling apart. Yeah. We were texting last night and you were like, you know, if something is too much, just let me know and you don't have to do it. And yeah. I just texted back in all capital letters, the Watson household is falling apart.
Well, I know you and Dennis are working really hard because you're writing this television show.
Yeah.
And you're struggling to find time between working on this podcast, which we're trying to expand, mm-hmm. and working on your television show. And yes, it's a stressful thing when you work for yourself trying to figure out like what you're going to do with your time.
It is. And, you know, we did an interview this morning that will be part of the Labor Day episode with someone who works in television. And she was saying, mm-hmm. like, you can work your butt off for 9 months on something and it will never be seen. Yeah. And there's a certain level of insanity that comes with that, and mm-hmm. you have to turn that part of your brain off. You just have to put 110% into every project you're working on. But every once in a while, reality comes like crushing through the facade and you realize like what's the point. And if you pull back and you go like, this might not ever be picked up, or if it gets picked up, we might make it one season, then it gets canceled, and like you yeah. just you lose your freaking mind. So everything came sort of crashing down last night, and I wasn't feeling good anyway, and I was just overwhelmed. And
well, can you just peel back the curtain a little bit? Why were you not feeling well?
Turns out I forgot to eat nutritious food for 2 days.
You were just eating snack food for two whole days, Bethany. You cannot do that.
Turns out that that's not great. And I got really nauseated. I didn't have groceries, but I had no energy to buy groceries. And so like, and I forgot that grocery companies that deliver have, you know, like openings again, because for a long time they didn't.
So
I was eating tortillas and peanut butter for breakfast, and I had like, I think, crackers for lunch. And I think I had half a veggie sausage for dinner. So I just was feeling so, so sick. So
you had to eat something green, like that grows from the ground at every meal.
I know.
Almost every meal. Okay. Anyway.
I know.
Anyway.
So every once in a while, it's just a good idea to own the fact that you're losing your mind and that you're falling apart. And I think a lot of people are doing that right now. And so I found this wonderful article that really hit home for me. It's on the website tinybuddha.com. It's written by Helena Onby. It's called A First Aid Kit for When Life Falls Apart. Because I Googled how to handle life, and the answer that auto-corrected was when everything is falling apart. So I know I'm not the only one who has like Googled this.
Amazing.
So the article starts with this wonderful quote from Glennon Doyle, who's just a superstar.
Oh.
And it's talking about pain and change and the fear of change. Mm-hmm. And the quote is, "What if pain, like love, is just a place brave people visit?" And I love that because it reminds us that pain and stress and anxiety is not permanent.
Yeah.
It's not going to stay forever. So here is how I'm working today on getting through my mental breakdown via this article. The first recommendation she has is feel those feelings. If you are someone who wants to push the feelings down, don't push them down. Let yourself feel them. Let yourself like sit and cry in the shower while those feelings wash over you. Don't judge it. Just let it come.
Yes. Feel the feels. That's what I always say to my friends. Feel the feels, girl.
Exactly. Yeah.
You're allowed to do whatever you want.
The next recommendation is let people in, which is fine. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Let people in. The one that I love is remember that you're not alone. Mm-hmm. And that is not pertaining to people love you, which they do. But that's pertaining to you did not invent the feelings you're feeling right now. And so even though your situation is unique and your feelings come from a different place, there is someone else somewhere else in the world who is feeling exactly the same thing you're feeling right now.
Yes.
And the emotion is the same. So you are not alone in feeling this. And I don't know why, but that struck me so hard and so comforting.
Yeah.
Just knowing there's somebody else in the world who is thinking, what am I going to do? How is this going to work out?
Mm-hmm.
Is feeling overwhelmed, is feeling scared. Even if you never talk to them or meet them, there's a kinship there, I think, which is really heartening.
Yeah, absolutely. This is one of the reasons why I love the invention of the internet, because there's a community of people for everyone out there.
Yeah.
So no matter what it is that you're experiencing, you just have to Google or check out message boards or whatever, because there's someone else out there that's like, am I the only one? Hello, hello, universe, universe.
Yeah.
And you're not. There's a lot of you.
It's funny, if you're watching a movie and you start sobbing at something, that's usually a good indicator of it hit a nerve for you.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember when Netflix, I think it was Netflix or Amazon, wanted all of us to watch Troop Zero?
Yes.
And it was always showing up. It was like that camp movie. So I watched it. And at the end of it, like, it's all of these kids in this sort of Girl Scout, Boy Scout troop, and then all of these adults that are with them, and they see this shooting star or comet or something. And the little girl yells up to the stars, I'm here, I think, to just show that she exists in this world.
That's delightful.
Yeah, and then the adults hear her do it, and they start yelling, I'm here, I'm here. And it's all of these people yelling, I'm here. And I just lost my mind. I started sobbing. And it's clearly this need to be seen and this need for people to know that your experiences matter and that you exist and whatever. So That was helpful.
Did you like the movie?
I did. I actually liked it an awful lot.
Because, yeah, it's an Amazon Prime movie, and it was showing up in my feed for a very long time. I was like, Kathleen, you should watch this. And I just never got around to it. But now that you liked it, I'm definitely going to go and see it.
Yeah, it's Allison Janney and Viola Davis, who are two of my most favorite actresses of all time. They're both in it. The girl who plays the lead is so weird. And the character is supposed to be weird. And she's like so effortlessly strange, where it almost seems like the camera accidentally caught her being weird. She gives these strange little looks and has these strange, her eyes get really big every once in a while in just this uncomfortable way. And she's delightful. So yeah, I recommend it.
Like a more relatable Grace Vanderwaal.
Yeah, totally. Like, yeah. I don't know my name.
I love Grace Vanderwaal.
No, I do too.
No hate to her.
No, I like her an awful lot. Okay, another recommendation. Write down all your feelings. We've heard it before. Great. Go outside, move around. Great. Put on your SPF. Here's one I really liked.
Okay.
Number 6. Maybe you're not dying, it says. So our brains have a tendency to exaggerate. And your life is probably not about to end. Your emotions are big, but they're not reflecting reality. So what you have to do is just look at yourself and go, okay, am I breathing? Yes. Is my heart beating? Yes. Are my feet on the ground? Yes. Is the drama I'm creating in my brain actually going to happen? Maybe not. Is it playing out in this moment? Nope.
Yeah.
And stay in that moment for a second.
You know, our friend Jessica Latshaw, she is married to our friend TJ from our radio days. And you can follow her on Instagram at Jessica Latshaw. She is one of my favorite people to follow on Instagram ever. She's in the process of writing a book. She went through a really difficult time in her life where she and her husband lost a baby at like 35 weeks. Like, it was devastating.
Yeah.
And she's writing this book. I mean, she's always been an amazing writer. I think she's the next Glennon Doyle.
Her writing is unbelievable. She draws parallels of things I would never even think.
Yeah.
She's brilliant.
And I have to tell you, I'm so even embarrassed to admit this. When she and TJ first started dating, I had maybe a little bit of a crush on TJ.
Wait, you too?
Yeah, I had a crush on TJ. I mean, I was already engaged at that point. But TJ is just like his brain. You look at him, he's like one of these people where it's like, how does your brain work? Because he's so creative. He's always thinking of ideas. So anyway, TJ and Jessica start dating. And I must have been stalking her online or something. And I found her original blog, like her blog spot. And I want to say this is like 2011. So it's a long time ago, or 2012. And I read the whole years and years and years.
Kathleen, you're a psychotic woman.
I'm so psychotic. But it's because her writing is so engaging. I don't even know if she has this in her archives anywhere. But it was all about her divorce from her first husband who left her. And I cannot wait for her book to come out. But anyway, this whole story that I'm trying to tell you is that she wrote on her Insta story the other day that what you are feeling is not fact. And just because you're in a moment and you're overwhelmed and you're feeling stressed out and there's a lot of drama going on, that is not fact. Like, facts stay. They are forever. They are permanent. Yeah. And a lot of times feelings can feel like facts, but they are 100% not, because they pass.
It's so true. And it's so brilliant. And why is that so hard for us to learn? But it is. It's like, let's list facts.
Yeah.
You are breathing. Your heart is beating. You are in this moment here. Right now you have enough food. Right now your children are healthy.
Yeah.
That is what is right now, and that's what you got.
Do you think you're feeling overwhelmed because you're sitting down to write the show? And do you feel like what you're putting on paper is not good enough, and then you're getting stressed out? Or
here's what it is. It's this fear that no one will ever get to appreciate what we're doing, because we feel so strongly that this is such a good project.
Yeah.
And I think I've said this before. I've pitched many TV shows. And none of them have been picked up. Like, there was even a couple years ago, I was out in LA shooting basically a proof of concept for a show. And you know, we got as far as casting yeah. and bringing on a line producer, and we had catering, like we had, and that didn't get picked up. So like, when you have never sold a show before, hearing yes hasn't happened yet. And mm-hmm. so it doesn't feel like an option. So there's just this fear that this won't get appreciated. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it touches on feeling always overlooked and feeling like yeah. you've never, it's all of that stuff.
But here's the thing. So you and Dennis are working really hard on this. If this show doesn't get picked up now, you could mm-hmm. be working on another project somewhere down the line, and then you could come back to this and finally someone's like, yeah, like since they've already seen you prove yourself in some other capacity, they're like, yeah, let me take a look at Lonely Hearts. Like,
yeah,
it's just so weird how the universe works. And, you know, I always think of your sister when she was working on her first book and how she wrote a book and it yeah. never got picked up. And then she yeah. wrote another book and then it finally got picked up. And now isn't your sister yeah. working on her like her second book deal?
Yes. She just landed another book. Deal.
So yeah, like sometimes you just have to write something for it not to be picked. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I think about that when Nicole is telling us her story.
No, it's totally true. And this is it's applicable to, I think, everybody, because the other thing that's really getting to us is, you know, Dennis looks at the competition a lot. Mm. And I try to keep my blinders on because it's the only way I can stay sane. But you know, our dream network is Shudder, and he saw last night that Shudder picked up a couple of films from this film festival that we didn't get into.
Yeah.
And so there's this incredible frustration of, well, if we had been accepted to that film festival, Shudder would have seen our film, and like, would that have led to something? And so I have to also put up my walls and try to protect myself when he is looking at stuff like that,
yeah.
because I can't look at stuff like that. And
yeah.
You know, I think all of us need to remember, don't look at the competition. Don't yeah. look at what other people are doing. Focus on yourself.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
I saw this thing online. It was about the guy who wrote the screenplay for The Godfather.
Yeah.
He had never written a screenplay before he wrote that. He had never written anything related to screenwriting. And he writes The Godfather. It becomes a giant hit, wins an Academy mm-hmm. Award. And then after the fact, he's like, okay, maybe I should like actually learn how to be a screenwriter. He buys the book, opens up the book, and in the first paragraph, the instructor who wrote the book was like, you need to read The Godfather, because that's the perfect example of how amazing screenwriting can be. And
holy cow.
This guy is like, okay, this instructional book that I, you know, it's just, it's wow. really funny how sometimes it all works out, you know?
Yeah, sometimes it does. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't. And it's about figuring out what you're going to keep doing.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. And lastly, like the thing that this article says, which I think I need to learn and a lot of people do, is that everything is going to change whether you want it to or not. Mm-hmm. Being alive means that change is the only constant. So if something is amazing, enjoy it, because it will change. And
it'll go away eventually.
Yeah. And I think if you know that now, it's going to be less painful when it does, because you're not going to be holding on with a death grip. Like you'll have known this was never going to last forever. But mm-hmm. I think it's the same thing for bad stuff. If you're feeling mm-hmm. like you're at the pits of despair, everything changes, including the bad stuff. And oftentimes just go to bed. And when you wake up again, like you're going to feel better, just go to bed.
But don't sing Mambo Number 5 before you go to bed.
Because you're never going to get it out of your brain, and life is going to get worse.
Don't play with fire. Do not play with fire.
Just go to bed.
Can I ask you something personal?
Yeah.
So you and Dennis were having like a little tiff.
Yeah.
Tiff this morning. Do you think this is because it's more stressful now to work with each other than just be boyfriend, girlfriend?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because we work really well together when we're both in a good place.
Yeah.
But if one of us is freaking out, it's hard to work together in that regard. If he is upset about something and he's panicking,
yeah,
he wants to take action immediately, even if it's 9 o'clock at night.
Mm.
And I can't do that.
Oh, yeah. You're the opposite. You're like, yeah. I need to go to bed and I'll wake up at 5 and work on it then.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that's tough. And so then I have to say to him, like, tell me what you want me to do. I'll write it down and I will get to it in the morning when my brain is working. And that's stressful, and vice versa. So
he's like, no, do it now.
Yeah, exactly. I think we have hit the point now where people are stressed. They're like losing it with their families. They're losing it with their kids. Like they're working from home. Their kids are coming into Zoom calls. Like everyone's pet is coming into a Zoom call. We're just so I think I just also have to remind myself to just be really gentle with myself and just work hard and everything will come in the right time. But boy, is it a tough lesson.
You know what you can do to make yourself feel better? Petty things to get back at Dennis when I do that towards Neil. My God, I feel so much better. Like Neil and I were fighting last week and I got, I talked about it on the pod, I got so many wonderful responses from Taste Buds, but I did some of the pettiest shit. Like I loaded the dishwasher with everything except for the dishes that he used.
Do you think that that was hurting or helping?
No, it made me feel so good. So,
okay, but do you think it do you think it helped?
Like Dennis left this morning so you and I could pod and he's coming back to your apartment after lunch to spend the weekend.
Yeah.
Just find something petty to do like as a microaggression towards him while he's gone and then you'll just feel better when he returns.
I mean, normally what I do is I write small death threats on Post-it notes and put it in his stuff, like hide it in his things. So maybe I'll just do that. We've just taken to writing 7 days on various Post-it notes and putting them on each other's things. Which reminds me again, I need to ask if anyone knows anyone who lives in Russia, can you let me know? Okay. I need someone who lives in Russia because I have a long con I'm trying to pull on Dennis that involves Russian mail.
Okay.
And I just need someone to mail something from Russia for me.
Death threats on Post-its may be the best advice you've ever given on this podcast.
It's so much fun. And sometimes they don't find them for a long time. I once put one in behind a photo that he had hanging in his apartment and he didn't find it until he rearranged everything in his apartment. So like... friends, do a long con. It is a fucking delight.
If someone's having a party at their house, bring a packet of Post-it notes with you and just write shit. And even if it's like, imagine if it's not a good friend and they don't know your personality and they're not immediately going to take that off whatever and be like, oh, Bethany, she got me again.
Yep. Nope. Even better. If it is a party, if you are a plus one at a stranger's house, take a Post-it. You write something in there like, I know what you did. And then you stick it into a bottle of pills inside their medicine cabinet. Like, you know, have fun. Really just have fun. If you're going to terrorize people, have a good time with it, you know?
Have a good time. Be jovial about it.
Yeah, be jovial about your own pain. As you're melting down and falling apart, bring everyone else with you and just laugh and laugh.
Gentle listener. Gentle Bethany, are you there?
I'm here.
Our next commercial is near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
Because we have partnered with Ring. You may know Ring because they have the most amazing home security cameras on the market right now. When my dad got sick and moved out of the house and my mom was living on her own, I wired her whole house with Ring and it gave me the biggest peace of mind knowing that she was safe. And that I could kind of keep an eye on things going around her house. And Ring cameras have changed my life. I recommend it to all of my friends.
Yeah, I know that you were really worried about your mom, you know, when life changed. And knowing that you can check in on your mom and make sure everything's okay has been key. And
yeah,
Ring gives you protection at every corner. They have their video doorbells to let you answer the door and check in on your home anytime. You can keep an eye on your doorstep. You can speak to delivery people. You can play a prank on someone who comes to your door and, you know, pretend to be a ghost.
I love that when someone rings the doorbell, I can talk to them through the camera. So I'll be like, get off my lawn, you dirty scoundrel. Like from Home Alone, from the movie Home Alone, when he orders the pizza.
Yeah, I pick up what you're putting down. They also have outdoor security cameras so you can check in on every part of your home and never miss a moment.
Yes.
They have smart lighting that brightens up those blind spots and makes sure you always come home to a brightly lit house. And full home security systems give you everything you need to protect your family, pets, and property.
Ring is my favorite thing ever. I'm so excited that we're partnering with them.
Get a special offer on the Ring Welcome Kit when you go to ring.com/taste. This welcome kit includes the Ring Video Doorbell 3 and Chime Pro.
It's all you need to start building custom security for your home today. Just go to ring.com/taste. Again, that's ring.com/taste.
Kathleen, all of my pairs of Beta brand dress pant yoga pants are dirty. I have to do laundry. And that's why I'm not wearing any pants.
Yes.
Because pants aren't worth it, especially in quarantine, unless they are comfy dress pants from Beta brand.
Yes. If you're working from home, the ultimate WFH, you know what that stands for, Bethany?
Work from home.
Work from home outfit. The ultimate WFH outfit is pants from Beta Brand Dress Pant Yoga Pants. And I had never heard of them until they partnered with us for this podcast. They are my favorite pants ever, so much so that I ordered an additional 2 pairs of pants that I paid full price for with my money.
Beta Brand's Dress Pant Yoga Pants are exactly what they say. They're professional pants that you can wear to work when you're allowed to go back at some point. They keep everything pulled in. They're crisp. They don't get wrinkled. You can give a business presentation and look completely pulled together, but no one has to know that they're as comfortable as yoga pants. So while you look like a business professional, you can also reach and kick and stretch like a yogi.
I start to get heart palpitations when I think about all of the pairs of uncomfortable dress pants that I've worn over the years, digging into my skin. I sit down, I have to unbutton them because they're digging into my stomach. Yeah. You know, sometimes when I'm driving in my car, I totally just almost take them off because I can't drive with them.
You're not going to have that problem with dress pant yoga pants. Plus, there's tons of different colors and styles to choose from. They have the boot cut, they have the straight leg, the skinny, the cropped, the 8-pocket. I have their moto pants. Kathleen, you have their boot cut, right?
And I really love them so much.
So right now, our listeners can get 25% off of your first order when you go to betabrand.com/taste.
That's 25% off of your first order for a limited time at betabrand.com/taste.
Find out why women are ditching typical work pants for Beta Brand's dress pant yoga pants. Go to betabrand.com/taste for 25% off.
There's so many different types of styles. So many. Bethany.
Kathleen.
I haven't done this in a while. This is one of my favorite segments for this podcast. Weird news update.
Weird news update. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, the dun, Pentagon dun, dun, put together dun, 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 a task force to track UFOs.
It's about freaking time. Or did they just put it together and they're only telling us publicly now, but they've been having it since the Eisenhower administration?
Well, here's the story. According to space.com, which I think is probably a reliable source.
Totally. They got space.com.
Space.com.
Which is like a good.com.
So if you're a fan of unidentified flying objects, alien visitations, or anything that comes down from the heavens, the Pentagon has put together a task force. So it all started when the 3 videos came out showing U.S. Navy pilots encountering mysterious, fast-moving objects. These videos came out in 2017, 2018, and they were made public due to reporting by the New York Times and efforts from the STARS Academy, which is...
To the STARS Academy!
Are you familiar with the STARS Academy?
Hell yeah, I am.
So I wasn't until I started researching this article. The STARS Academy is a research and development and media center for cutting-edge science and technology, and it is comprised of former high-level officials and scientists with deep black experience. These scientists remained in the shadows until they formed the STARS Academy in 2018.
Do you know who else is part of To the STARS Academy?
Who?
Tom DeLonge from Blink 182.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is he a Mensa member or is he like really smart?
I think he just really likes UFOs. Here's the thing. So there's like, there's a rift between To the STARS Academy and like MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, because To the STARS Academy has money and they're capable of producing all of these like shows and doing all of this research, whereas MUFON doesn't necessarily have that level of cash. And so there's this feeling from MUFON of being kind of left behind, while To the STARS Academy, they're like these rock stars who are, you know, like just show up all of a sudden. They're late to the game and they have all this clout.
There's like former CIA members in the STARS Academy, like people with a lot of government high level experience.
Near, 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 near.
You know so much about this topic, Bethany. I'm just going to let you take over.
No, I just really love this kind of stuff. Yeah, it's drama. TTSA.
Last week, the U.S. Department of Defense announced a creation task force to analyze and understand the nature and origins of what they're calling unidentified aerial phenomenon. Okay.
Yeah, because UFO sounds like aliens and they want to still like distance themselves. Yeah.
They don't want to use the word UFO. So there's a handful of reasons as to why this task force was created. And I'm just going to give you the top.
Okay.
They want to be able to identify new sensory technologies so they don't misinterpret like UFO readings. Do you know what I mean?
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, gotcha.
They also want to determine how UFO detections might deliberately be induced by hackers or real enemies of the United States.
Ooh. Okay. So they want to like...
Right?
So enemies might want to make our... I don't know, not surveillance.
But like power of distraction too, you know, that type of thing.
So like they would shoot up something that looks like an alien to distract us from the fact that they're tunneling under America?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, gotcha.
They also created the task force to deliberately induce Bethany is a big words. They really kill me.
You got this. No, you got it.
To deliberately induce anomalous.
Anomalous?
Anomalous.
I mean, you just put the emphasis on any syllable and at some point it's right.
Anomalous targets into the range of our new detection trackers. Okay, this is
Wait,
just
say a, that again.
I'm break it down. Edit.
No, don't edit. This is fun.
They are deliberately inducing targets into the range of our new detection technologies.
Okay.
To test out our new technologies.
So they came up with new ways of detecting like strange phenomenon. And so now they're like launching strange phenomenon to try
to test
and test it.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Okay, cool. Okay. So like if you make like a beaver detector, you're going to bring out some beavers to try and like see if it detects those beavers.
And you might also bring out some or what are those things called where you like Michael Jackson's on stage. It's what is that thing called?
A beaver
holograms, right? Yeah. So like UFO holograms that maybe hackers are shooting into the sky, stuff like that.
Totally.
And they also started this task force to determine which detections either at home or abroad accidentally reveal highly classified operations of our own that might be revealed to enemy nations that are also looking for such indications.
Oh, so we want to make sure that our new ways of detecting UFOs don't also show like, hey, there's some tanks over here, flying tanks that we have that we want to make sure people don't see.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
There's some other reasons, but I'm going to move on. I'm done with this story.
Okay.
Okay.
You're over it.
I'm over it. That one word just really threw me off my game, and now I don't want to talk about it. Anomalous, and then I'm...
But you nailed it.
Okay.
You got it.
Ice cream news.
Ice cream news.
Ben & Jerry's has a flavor graveyard with all of their discontinued ice creams.
Wait, what?
So the graveyard is online. I don't believe that it exists in person, despite what the photoshopped images on the mirror.co.uk would say.
Because I'm picturing like a big walk-in freezer with just all of these old flavors that no one has anymore.
But I will get to the best way to store ice cream in your freezer. There's a little life hack in the middle of this story. So if you've ever wondered what has happened to all of the retired Ben & Jerry's ice cream flavors when they stop producing them, well, turns out that they all end up in one specific place, and that is a digital graveyard. On their website, they have a whole page dedicated to all the defunct flavors which have been discontinued over the years. And at the top of the page, it says, "Here we pay tribute to our dearly depinted."
Oh my gosh. I love Ben & Jerry's.
What's your favorite Ben & Jerry's flavor?
You know what? That's a really good question. I can't say that I know them terribly well because I don't normally eat Ben & Jerry's. I really like the Stephen Colbert one. I don't remember what it was called, but I enjoyed it.
Is that American Cone or American Dream?
Yeah, something like that. I think
I like Cherry Garcia.
That's a classic. That's a good one. What's yours? Is that your favorite?
Cherry Garcia or fish food?
Yeah.
I love the crunchy chocolate pieces in fish food. But I was recently eating a higher quality ice cream and then tried Ben & Jerry's right after the fish food. And I realized that the chocolate in fish food is just sort of, I don't know, mediocre. Anyway.
Oh, it's subpar chocolate. Oh, by the way, points on like just eating ice cream and then more ice cream.
And then more ice cream.
Major points for that because like that's commitment and I appreciate it.
You know what? Screw wine tastings. There should be facilities with ice cream tastings.
Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah. And then lots of toilet paper for all of the upset tummies.
And a lot of water because ice cream makes you so thirsty.
Thirsty. So flavors in the graveyard include Tennessee Mud, which was made from 1988 to 1989 and featured coffee ice cream, amaretto, Jack Daniel's, Tennessee whiskey, and roasted slivered almonds.
Nom nom David.
Right? Yeah. Back in 1992 to 1993, there was a flavor called Ms. Jelena's sweet potato pie. Didn't pick up. It was Ginger ice cream with fudge swirl. That sounds delicious.
Oh my gosh, I'd eat that. What?
Yeah. Back from 2000 to 2001, there was a flavor called Urban Jungle, which was packed full of a lot of different ingredients, including a swirling safari of chocolate ice cream and coconut ice cream mixed with dark and white chocolate chunks, pecans, and roasted almonds.
I can see why that would be polarizing because people have really strong feelings about coconut.
Yeah. Some people think it tastes like sunblock.
Yeah. And I don't know how well coconut and white chocolate go together, although probably great, but I can't imagine it.
Like, I don't know if that's a flavor I would eat. I don't think so. I mean, this is a flavor I would eat. And I'm really sad that it was put to rest. It's called Cool Britannia.
Okay.
And it was supposed to be the ice cream equivalent of afternoon tea.
Oh.
It was vanilla ice cream with strawberries and fudge in shortbread pieces.
Whoa, I would eat the hell out of that.
Yeah, please bring that back. Okay, here's the life hack that Ben and Jerry's also has on their website. So, you know when you store pints of ice cream in the freezer and you open up and there's all freezer burn on top, yeah, and you're like, ugh, I don't want to eat this anymore.
Totally.
Ben and Jerry says the best way to store ice cream in your freezer is to flip the pint upside down.
Oh. Wait, why?
So you don't get freezer burn because it's like air can't get into the pocket at the top because you've now flipped it upside down.
Wow. Air is like tenacious because, you know, they have that plastic thing over the top of it. The fact that air can still get inside that plastic thing, man, air is insidious.
Yes. Experts claim that this trick helps prevent freezer burn, which causes food to become dehydrated. Over time, ice evaporates as the moisture leaves the ice cream and joins forces with moist ambient air. It refreezes on the ice cream surface, creating the telltale crystals that indicate freezer burn. Ugh,
I hate it. Now I want ice cream.
Okay, moving on.
Okay.
In Switzerland, a town woke up to a dusting of chocolate snow over everything.
Tis Christmas.
The lint factory in the Swiss town of Olten had a malfunctioning part and it pumped cocoa powder into the air and it settled all over the town.
Oh my God, what a magnificent surprise when you wake up in the morn.
Oh my God. I mean, this is really sort of a sore point for me because I was supposed to go to Switzerland this summer. So I'm like, of course this happened. Like right when I'm supposed to be there.
Would you have gone this week? Would this have been the week?
No, definitely not. So I would have missed it, but whatever. I'm just trying to be a brat.
No, it's fine. I'm picturing like deer tracks in the chocolate and like, you know, animals licking it off of themselves, which if you're a dog, bad call. Dogs are allergic to chocolate. That's wonderful. Yeah.
But if you're an adult or a child, delish. Yeah.
I wonder what the part was. Like it wasn't connected to the hose properly. I wonder what the inside of the factory looked like too. Like if it was all pumping outside, did it pump more inside?
So someone posted a picture on Twitter of a white car with just, the car looked like a pastry where someone just put cocoa powder all over it at a fancy restaurant.
Oh my gosh. That's another reason to move to Switzerland.
Okay, moving on. I'm done with this story.
Okay, wow.
Mm-hmm. An American man just got a poop transplant. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Is this pertaining to the gut bacteria thing?
Yes.
Is that what it's for?
Yes.
Okay, explain this to me.
So 47-year-old man, he had this thing called drunkenness disease, also known as fermentation syndrome. Drunkenness disease. It's a fermentation syndrome where essentially your gut auto-brews alcohol in your intestines. It's very rare and it involves excessive fungal growth in the gut, which feeds on carbohydrates, then fuels ethanol production.
Wait, I think I've heard of this before.
Yeah.
Like I think someone, like a guy got pulled over for drunk driving because and he blew too high, but he wasn't actually drunk. It was his gut bacteria.
This is the guy.
This is the guy. Oh, he's like a famous guy.
And it's linked to, like, he's got a lot of yeast in his gut and you need yeast to create alcohol. Yeah. So he actually lost his license after a random police check a couple years ago.
Which sucks. Yeast is so hard to get rid of.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
He had nutritionists. They tried putting him on a low carb diet and of course, antifungals, like make him probably antifungal medicine and eat foods that are antifungal. But the signs of intoxication persisted. So he just felt wasted all the time.
Oh, but that sucks.
So they did a poop transplant.
So do they put poop.
Yeah.
Because it's his gut. So do they put poop in his gut?
They took fecal microbiota, which I think is probably just like fecal bacteria. They took it from his 22-year-old daughter.
Gross.
And transplanted it into his own small intestine. And then his body was able to produce like the correct gut bacteria. It was fighting off all of the yeast. And he has been fine for the last 34 months.
Wow.
Is that not incredible?
Okay. So do you remember when you had to poop on a plate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure do.
Yeah, we had to like find something. Why were you pooping on a plate?
How else are you supposed to give a fecal sample, Bethany? When you have to give a poop sample, they give you all these tiny little vials.
Yeah.
And it can't touch toilet water because then it becomes contaminated.
Oh. So
the best way to do it is to take out a paper plate, sit on the toilet, sort of like squish the plate underneath your anus, catch your poo, and then put like the little samples of poo into the little vials that they give. It's the only way to do it.
It's the only way to do it.
How else are you going to do it?
I don't know. I don't know.
Catch it in your hand? That's disgusting.
No, that's not. Maybe a bag, you know, like they do with horses that are on parade. Don't they put like bags under them? Anyway, so did the daughter have to poop on a plate for her dad, or were they, I wonder if they were able to like extract it in a different way?
I'm sure they probably went into her colon and scraped out some of the cells. Ugh. And then put it in her dad. It's the first successful poop transplant that's ever been done.
Kathleen, if you ever needed my poo,
yeah,
you know I would give you as much as you needed.
Oh, thank you, Bethany.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay, moving on. You're welcome. I'm done with the story.
Okay.
An Australian family's lottery numbers have finally paid off after 50 years.
Explain yourself.
Okay. An Australian man won the lottery jackpot of more than $700,000 by playing a set of numbers that his family has been using for lottery drawings for 50 years.
Whoa. So they always use the same numbers.
Same numbers. It's compiled of some family birth dates and other numbers. He says, my family's been playing them for 50 years. I kept these numbers and I've been playing them consistently for a while now. So his patience finally paid off.
I feel like this is the equivalent of if you're lost in the woods, stay put. Like never change what you're doing and eventually everything else will come around to meet you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's how I hope my general life course will be. Like I'll just stay put in this apartment and then everything will fall into place. But it hasn't worked out for me so far. So
yeah, I mean, I'll just sit here on this couch and then everyone else will rise to meet me. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
precisely.
I agree. Yeah.
Okay, I'm done with the story. Moving on.
Okay, wow, goodness.
There is a fox in Berlin that is stealing shoes.
Is her name Kathleen?
No, it's not. No, foxy. No, it's an actual animal fox. So 2 weeks ago in Berlin, there's this guy. His name is Christian Meyer. He's a resident of the Zehlendorf.
Nailed it.
Neighborhood. He noticed that one of his new and very expensive running shoes had disappeared from his porch, and he decided to investigate the theft. This is according to Tagesspiegel.
Love them.
Newspaper. Tagesspiegel.
Yeah, love them.
So after he started to investigate, he quickly learned that he was not the thief's only victim, and a tip helped him catch the fox red-handed.
A tip, you say?
A tip, you say. Or red pod. Question number one. Why are people leaving their shoes outside on their porch? Where
I know it's not safe.
It's like, as Americans, is it just that we are suspicious of everyone?
I think.
Or.
Yeah. And I think as humans, we should be suspicious of everyone. Like even your own family, you should be looking at them with suspicion. Because even if they haven't done anything to you yet, they're going to do something to you at some point. So it's best to just.
Yeah.
You know, keep them at arm's length now.
That's why I keep cameras on my mother at all times.
Got to.
So Mr. Meyer caught the fox with two blue flip-flops in its mouth. Caught red-handed. Days later, he spotted the fox again and he followed it into a thicket where he crawled around in the thicket for an hour following the fox.
That's not safe.
There he discovered that the fox had a secret stash of more than 100 shoes.
This is amazing. What was the fox doing with all these shoes?
I don't know. I mean, if we could ask the fox, we would say, what did the fox say? Beep, 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 beep. Okay, most of them were not on just a tiny, tiny little bit. So it wasn't like he was going to town and feasting on them. They were just like, not a little bit. And then he wanted a new toy. The man collected the shoes and then posted a picture on Twitter of all of the, you know, footwear that he had found. Bethany, it is the best photo I've ever seen because it's essentially all Crocs.
What?
All Crocs and clogs in a bunch of different colors.
Why is everyone wearing Crocs in this neighborhood?
Why aren't we wearing more Crocs in America? I'm going to text you a picture.
Please.
Right now. I want you to see it. It's the it could be an art display. There's so many different colors of Crocs and clogs.
Oh, wait. I was able to find it. I found it. I just Googled it.
Yeah. Isn't it beautiful?
It's so many Crocs. Kathleen, you're not.
So many Crocs.
It's mostly. And there's an insole. And then Birkenstocks. It's like three quarters Crocs and then Birkenstocks. I wonder if it's that foamy plastic material is really fun to chew on.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because foxes are like in the dog family, aren't they? So chewing is a thing.
Let me tell you, this isn't the first time that an urban fox has had a shoe fetish. Apparently in 2019, there was a fox in Melbourne, Australia, who visited a woman's porch and stole three boots over the course of a week. And the woman eventually captured the thief on camera and she posted it on YouTube.
I think that people need to just learn, don't keep your shoes outside.
Put your shoes inside. And in Kyoto, Japan, there was a pair of foxes,
A
murder of foxes that pilfered more than 40 pairs of sandals in 2018.
Dude.
And they weren't caught until there was a stakeout involving five police officers where they like eventually caught the foxes who were stealing sandals. There's another time in 2009 in Germany where a female fox stole 100 to 120 pairs of shoes in one night for her cubs to play with.
These are good parents.
It happened in London too. Why do foxes have shoe fetishes? It's crazy.
I mean, I think they're perfect size. They're fun to chew on.
Yeah.
You know, they're made of like foam and rubber and leather, all fun things to chew on.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a perfect weight mm-hmm. to be carried because they're probably hefty enough to, you know, withstand chewing, but they're also light enough to carry around. I think, you know, I think it's perfect.
It's really weird.
So weird.
Like, is there a secret fox society where these foxes from different countries are getting together and are like, let's fuck with the humans?
Yeah, or they're like, you know, I learned shoes are really fun to carry around. And then they're spreading the word on their Facebook page. You know?
Foxbook.
There you go.
Okay, I'm moving with the story. I'm done.
Okay. Oh, jeez.
Let's talk about poop again.
You're so fickle. All right.
Penguin poop was spotted from space, and it has revealed to scientists hidden colonies of penguins in melting regions of Antarctica.
Okay.
That's amazing. Scientists have discovered nearly a dozen new penguin colonies in Antarctica, all from satellite photos that appear to have brown smudges on them because it's the penguin poop.
Wait, it has to be a lot of poop to show up on a satellite, doesn't it?
I mean, colonies. Think about how much, poop your cats do in one small litter box. A whole colony of a certain type of animal pooping in the same place. Like, that's a lot
of
poop.
Good point.
So the colonies are located in a region that is at high risk of disappearing due to climate change. So that's why scientists have been, you know, studying this area. And that is how they discovered the poop smears on the satellite photos.
Wow. I hope that the penguins are okay. I hope they airdrop them, you know, some bottled water and stuff.
Yeah. They're going to be okay. And I didn't know this, but penguin colonies are notoriously difficult to study because they tend to be in highly remote, inaccessible regions with temperatures that are as low as 58 degrees Fahrenheit. So this is a game changer. These aerial photographs are a game changer for people who study penguins.
58 degrees isn't that cold.
Minus 58 degrees.
Oh, very cold.
Minus Fahrenheit, yeah.
Oh, I thought they were like springtime penguins. Like, no, you're not that tough, you springtime penguin.
If the ice melted, Bethany, when scientists were looking for you, what would they find?
Oh, man. Knives.
Knives.
They'd find all my hidden knives. Mm. What about you?
I don't know. Wine bottles.
Yeah. Corks.
Cheese doodles. Mary-Kate and Ashley VHS tapes.
Didn't they have one called In a New York Minute?
That was one of their best. Eugene Levy was in it.
Really?
Yeah. That was one of the last that they released.
I've been rewatching Schitt's Creek, speaking of Eugene Levy.
Yeah.
And I forgot about the episode where Moira auditions for The Crows Have Eyes part 2, and one of the lines is, "The crows have eyes, so you better not look them in it."
You do a good impression of her.
I love her.
That's really good.
My goal is to be her when I get older.
Okay. And last but not least.
Oh, you're done. You're bored with the penguin story?
I'm moving on with the penguin story.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. All right.
Last but not least, Japan is installing see-through public toilets in some Tokyo parks.
Why? Of course they are. Why?
I'm getting the story from sky.com, but I've seen it on a bunch of other websites too, and the photos are gorgeous. The see-through bathrooms are being tested in a section of Tokyo that is called Shibuya. It's Shibuya. It's a commercial part of the city where there's a lot of shopping. It's renowned for nightlife, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And apparently at night, these glass see-through bathrooms light up like beautiful lanterns. They're beautiful.
Ooh. Wait, but okay.
The bathrooms are these glass structures. They're see-through, totally see-through. There's a sink, there's a toilet, and they're made from colored glass. So lined up next to each other, they're like three glass squares. One is orange, one is pink, one is purple, of these beautiful translucent glass bathrooms, these glass rooms.
Yeah.
And they're made from smart glass, which turns opaque when they're occupied.
Oh, I thought they were like people were going to enjoy watching others go to the bathroom.
No.
And it was just this strange fetish.
Oh, no. The Japanese are too polite of a people to.
I know, but they also, you know, that you know, Japan also has like don't they have panty vending machines?
Yeah.
So like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. See, yeah. But I think that they do all of their secret fetish stuff in private.
Okay.
And this would be far too public
for
the Japanese people. So the smart glass turns opaque when the bathrooms are occupied. The glass technology has been used so that people can identify whether or not the toilet is clean before going in, before touching the door handle. And also it lets them know if anyone's inside. So you don't walk up to the bathroom, touch the dirty door handle, and someone's like, oh, I'm in here. You know what I mean?
That's incredibly smart.
Yes.
The thing that I would be nervous about is that how do you know? Because when you're inside,
yeah,
you probably can't tell that it's gone opaque. Like you can still see out. So what if you think it's gone opaque, but it's broken? And so you think that you're safe. And so you're doing weird stuff in there, like putting a hand mirror down to make sure the flora is okay in your body. And then all of a sudden everyone's looking at you.
That's a very good question. I don't think I would go into one unless I saw someone come out. And it was opaque while they were in there.
Yeah.
But what if it breaks? Like, what if you're the first person that it breaks with? Right?
I mean, that's why you always have to carry around a shower curtain with you to put around yourself. Even if you think you're fine. I bring a shower curtain everywhere I go. Yes. You never know when it's going to come in handy. A picnic blanket, an opaque bathroom that doesn't work, you know, a Halloween costume from Karate Kid.
Yep.
You know, a cape. Do you need a cape? I have one.
Right.
Going to eat a big lobster.
When I was getting drug tested in high school, the woman had to come into the bathroom with me. And I remember thinking to myself, why did I not wear a longer shirt to cover my vagina?
Yeah. And also, why did you do drugs?
Why did I do drugs? And get caught.
A lot
of
questions.
Like, why did I get caught? It was really my biggest grievance.
A lot of questions were asked that day.
Users of these bathrooms say that they're a little bit freaked out because, like you just suspected, Bethany, once they go in, they cannot tell if the glass is opaque or not. So essentially, you're in there doing your business and it's like clear glass. It's like someone is staring at you.
You need your friends there with you for the first time at least.
Yeah. You do.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really wanted to fuck with people, even if the glass was opaque, you just walk right up and put your nose against the glass.
I would.
Well, someone was in there and just make a creepy face.
Laugh and laugh and laugh.
So, I mean, this is a big project for Tokyo. A number of leading designers helped create the restrooms as a part of the Tokyo Toilet Project to change people's dark, dirty, smelly, and scary perceptions of public loos.
It's a great idea. I would use them if they brought them over here. I think that's wonderful. And they're beautiful to look at as well.
I think it's wonderful also. Yeah, it's beautiful. Can you imagine that in Bryant Park? It'd be a beautiful art installation.
Totally. And like it probably, you know, discourages sleeping in there because everyone can see you.
Have you ever used unless it's an emergency in New York City or the surrounding metropolitan area, would you go into a bathroom at a park?
Yes, I have.
Really?
But you have to be real careful. I mean, the Bryant Park, when they do a pretty good job keeping it nice.
Have you been in there?
Yeah, a couple times.
Okay.
It was okay. It was a very nice lady who was like making sure everything was, you know, where it should be.
They have an attendant. That makes a difference. Yeah. Yeah.
But that's a very specific bathroom. Like there's a whole effort behind the Bryant Park bathroom, I think, to keep it nice. But if they're open, I'll use them. But usually you're sacrificing something like soap or a sink.
Or toilet paper.
Like it is a desperate situation. Have you ever used them?
Bathrooms at the beach I'll use. You know, because it's the beach, you have no other choice. But it really has to be an emergency before I use a public toilet in a place like a park. Do you know what I mean?
Do you remember when we went to the Grand Canyon and you had to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night and there was like a giant, what was it, a spider or a rat? What was it that was in the toilet?
You know, I was just explaining this to my mom, my brother the other day. Going to the bathroom in the Grand Canyon was the scariest experience of my life because it was like a treehouse that had these little stalls, like these little enclosed stalls, and plastic toilets without flushers. There's just a hole in the bottom of the toilet that went down to the ground where there was a bucket catching the stuff, and all sorts of bugs and animals would make their way into these little stalls. Yeah. And I had my headlamp on one night, and I accidentally looked straight down into the bottom of the toilet, and that was.
Because you screamed and ran out and we illuminated your way while you pooped against a tree, I remember.
And I could see little field mice running around my ankles and I was like, this is better than the bathroom.
You were like, light my way, but don't look at me. So we were like training our headlamps towards you with our eyes closed.
Yes.
Help me, but don't look at me. Don't look at me.
I mean, did you enjoy going to the bathroom in the Grand Canyon?
No, and that's why I was so grateful for being dehydrated, because I really didn't have to very much.
Oh, God. All right, let's wrap this up.
Okay.
How the heck does smart glass work? Because I had to look this up after reading about these opaque bathrooms.
Yeah.
In the simplest definition, smart glass technologies alter the amount of light that are being transmitted through the glass, allowing the material to appear transparent, translucent, or opaque.
I don't understand it.
So there must be a switch. Yeah, I don't understand it either. There must be a switch. There's like an electrical supply to the glass.
Okay.
And once someone goes in, the amount of light going through the glass like stops. And so then the material becomes opaque. Does that make sense?
You know it's opaque, right? Not opaque.
No, it's
opaque.
No, it's opaque.
Opaque.
No.
Yes.
No.
Oh, I'm 95% sure it's opaque.
Oh,
it's a Q, right?
O-P-A-Q-U-E. Opaque.
Yeah.
Opaque.
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 Opaque. Well, now I have to look it up. Have I been saying it wrong my whole life?
Opaque. Opaque.
Can you hear that?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Opaque. You're right, Bethany. You're right. What else have I been wrong about in my life?
Oh, man. I mean, do you want to sit down for a second?
Okay.
Opaque.
Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen.
I'm going to fight you.
No, I've been nothing but nice to you, and I've put up with so much. I do have a suggestion, Kathleen.
Okay.
You should try Fight Camp.
If you're getting bored with your workouts, if you're looking for a workout that keeps you engaged and learning and excited and motivated, and sometimes you feel like you want to fight someone, you have to check out Fight Camp, because it's a workout that's never boring, always challenging. It's like having a boxing gym in your own living room.
Fight Camp is the grand slam of at-home workouts. It gives you everything you need for a boxing and kickboxing workout from your house. You get the best freestanding punching bag in the market, great boxing gloves, quick hand wraps, and their unique punch tracking sensors that show you the real-time progress and stats on any iOS device.
And if you're new to boxing, their 12-week starter program teaches you the fundamentals of boxing while you get a great workout every time, and you can learn from 6 highly qualified trainers ranging from pro MMA fighters to the mother of two, who's a kickboxing world champion.
Speaking of being a parent, this is great for kids. If you have kids who are driving you up a wall and you are on your last nerve right now, get Fight Camp. This is safe for kids to use. It's a punching bag that they can safely punch instead of punching each other or the wall or your furniture, and it gets all of that energy out. Fight Camp offers flexible financing for as low as 0% APR, and right now, as a limited time offer, you can try Fight Camp for 30 days with their money back guarantee. All you have to do is go to joinfightcamp.com/taste.
That's right. Try Fight Camp free for 30 days, and if you don't love it, they're going to refund your money. Train like a fighter and turn your sweat into results.
To try Fight Camp for 30 days, just go to joinfightcamp.com/taste. That's joinfightcamp.com/taste. Kathleen.
Yeah.
I just found a website that tells you the richest person in every state.
Ooh, such good information to know.
Yeah. So you're from originally New Jersey, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay, let me scroll down to New Jersey. That's under the N's. Okay, California. Mark Zuckerberg, by the way, is the richest person in California.
Yeah.
Which I think is actually saying a lot because there's a lot of rich people in California.
Yeah.
Kansas. Let's see. Hold on. I'm scrolling down. I have to guess which page it's on. Maybe I should have found this before. By the way, if you live in Louisiana, Gail Benson.
Gail Benson. Let's be friends with her. Okay, writing her name down. Gail.
Yeah, she, her husband died, and she had a legal battle with his children, and she got all of his stuff.
Juicy.
So that's exciting. Let's see. Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota. Glenn Taylor, you are the richest man in Minnesota.
I'm writing his name down.
You founded a printing services company. He lives in Mankato.
Do you know where that is?
Yeah, Mankato.
Is it nice?
Yeah.
How are the taxes over there? Are they good?
Mankato? They're all right.
All right,
yeah. New Jersey, the richest man is John Overdeck. Do you know who that is?
Nope.
He's a hedge fund manager. Mm. He has a net worth of more than $6 billion. Mm. He founded Two Sigma Investments, a hedge fund with more than $54 billion under management. He lives in Millburn. Do you know where Millburn is?
Oh, yeah. It's very ritzy up there. That's like the area that Anne Hathaway is from.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. This website is 247wallstreet.com, wallst.com, richest person in every state.
Cool.
Do you want to guess the name of the richest person in New Mexico?
I don't know.
I'll give you a hint. His first name is Mac, and his middle initial is C. What's his last name?
Max.
You'll never get it.
Max C. Smith.
Chase. His last name, you could have said Chase.
Mac Chase. That sounds like a rich
Mac
person
Chase.
Name.
If you had said Chase, you'd be correct. Who is the richest person who lives in North Carolina? I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
His first name is James.
James, I don't know, McDonald.
Wrong. Good Knight is his last name. You could have said Good Knight.
See,
and
some
you would
people
have gotten that correct.
Are just born to be rich because they have names that sound like people who make money.
What about North Dakota? I'll tell you, he has an estimated net worth of $1.0 billion. He lives in Fargo.
Okay.
His first name is Gary. What is Gary's last name?
Gary Cupholder.
You could have said Theraldson and you would have been correct. The right answer is Theraldson.
Theraldson. Well, I'll tell you who will never be on that list. Me.
I mean, there's no way to know.
I guess.
You can't limit yourself by those beliefs. Let's do one more. This is going well, and I think everyone's having fun.
Okay, great.
Okay. The richest person in South Dakota. Now, this one's going to throw you for a loop because his first name is a letter. So his first name starts with a T. It's just T.
Oh.
His middle name is Denny, so he must go by Denny. Yeah. What's his last name?
T. Denny. Agriculture. Algorithm. T. Denny Algorithm.
Close. No, yeah. Sanford was the right answer. You could have said Sanford.
Sanford is.
T. Denny Sanford.
T. Denny. Yep. That sounds like a rich name.
Yeah, he lives in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Looks like a real nice white guy.
I was just going to say all these people sound like they are white people.
Yes. Looks like they are. The ones I've seen.
Would you say you've been wearing more makeup or less makeup during the pandemic?
First, less, now so much more.
Really?
So much more. Hmm. Yep. More, I think as my mental health deteriorates, my makeup wearing increases. It's like, you know, it's an opposite correlation. What about you?
Definitely less. I'll go days without wearing any makeup. So Refinery29 just put out an article. It says, goodbye Instagram face. Natural beauty is making a comeback. And apparently the products that are selling well now are products that make you look good on Zoom. So bye-bye, like very hyperpigmented eye colors and lip colors and stuff like that. People are buying makeup that just make them look really healthy on Zoom camera. And also people aren't getting big lip injections anymore. They want to look like smooth. So they're getting crow's nest injections and like a little bit of Botox between their eyes and that kind of stuff.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. It really does. What about Virginia? The richest person in Virginia. Mm. It's a lady.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me.
First name, Jacqueline. Mm. What would you say her last name is?
Hasselhoff.
Close. You could have said Mars. Oh. Mars would have been the correct answer. She's the heiress to the candy company Mars.
Oh, how cool. That's a great – Jacqueline Mars. That's a great name.
Yeah, it's a good one. I think I'm wearing a lot of makeup because I just want to feel like something's – so I got control over something, and I think I have control over makeup.
Gotcha.
But it makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense. I do like that people do cosmetic things that are fairly permanent. Like Botox goes away, but, you know – for like a trend like Zoom.
Yeah.
Because we're not all going to be on Zoom forever, but we are right now.
Indeed.
West Virginia.
Okay.
Now, this is a man. His name is Jim. What would his last name be? And is he, I don't know, the second, the third, the fourth?
Jim Thorpe.
It's a great guess.
Yeah.
Justice is what we wanted to hear with this one. Ooh. Jim Justice.
I love a good alliteration.
Mm-hmm. The second, by the way, he is the second Jim Justice. He earned his fortune in coal.
A good modern technology.
So anyway, what'd you learn this week, Kathleen?
Wow.
What'd you learn this week?
I don't know, Bethany. Can you please go first?
Yes. So I learned that if you have a little bit of body pain, wherever it is, stretch it out, get it massaged, handle it now, because if you don't, it's going to turn into worse body pain.
Yeah.
Because I had a little bit of a shoulder, just my, like, you know, some knots in my back, and I did nothing about it this morning. I drank a glass of water and pulled my neck.
No.
Like, I have awful, awful back pain, shoulder and neck pain now because I drank a glass of water when I should have, like, stretched my back out a while ago.
Wait, can I tell you about the best, absolute best Instagram account I discovered? This guy, he's a physical therapist, and he teaches you how to stretch and cure all of your ailments right from home.
Ooh, I like this.
It's called Official Danny Shapiro.
Oh, Danny Shapiro.
DannySHapiro. Official Danny Shapiro. He calls himself the Muscle Whisperer. He's a physical therapist. I think he's based in New York City, but he has all of these incredible videos where he shows you exactly how to stretch and exactly how to move to heal what's ailing you.
Ooh, I need this. Pain in the front and my posture is cryy face, he says.
And there's just something about him. I'm like, I'm very attracted to him for some reason.
He's your type of guy. You like a pleasant looking white man who's built like, who's got a little wider of a torso.
I do. He's so, look at him. He's smiling right now. He's stretching, showing you how to stretch out your shoulders. He's so cute. And I don't even like to comment on people's appearances like that. But I feel like if we were in the same room together, there would just be sparks between us.
Yeah. I also like the way that he's gloving up.
Ah.
Because he was putting on some gloves. Yes. He also rocks a polo shirt, and you love a man in a polo.
You know, the first video I saw of him was like how to heal back pain. And so he's sort of like rubbing his sacrum buttocks area. And I'm like, yeah, you rub that.
Kathleen, are you following this man as porn?
I don't know. Bethany,
are you leaving inappropriate comments?
I'm not. I promise you, I'm not leaving inappropriate comments. I promise.
Slower, Danny. Slower. Rub that sacrum slower.
Slower.
Did you learn anything this week, or do you want to take a mulligan?
What's a mulligan?
It's like a do-over / like that one didn't count. Do you want to just like not worry about it this week?
Okay, let me just look up a fun fact. I'll learn something right now.
Oh, okay, that's great. We can all learn in the moment.
Yeah. Interesting fun facts that'll blow your mind at rd.com. This is great.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Anything hitting you?
A cow-bison hybrid is called a beefalo. Johnny Appleseed's fruits weren't for eating.
What were they for?
I don't know.
Fucking.
Apples on those trees were much more bitter than the ones you find in the supermarket today.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Scotland has 421 words for snow.
Scotland does?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do they get that much snow?
They must. Samsung tests phone durability with a big butt-shaped robot.
Kathleen would like that. Put a polo shirt on that robot. Kathleen would like it.
Armadillo shells, they're bulletproof. So you could shoot.
Whoa.
You could shoot an armadillo. That shit would bounce right back off.
Please don't shoot. How are they testing this? Please don't shoot armadillos.
I don't know.
They've done nothing to you.
Firefighters use wetting agents to make water wetter.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wetting, not wedding.
No.
Wetting. Like, I was thinking like wedding cake, but you're meaning wetting, no. Like T-T-I-N-G.
Firefighters use wetting agents to make water wetter.
I'd like my water wetter. I'd like a little bit of wetter water.
Octopuses lay.
Hey, Wendy, I'd like a little bit of wetter water.
Octopuses lay 56,000 eggs at the same time.
Ew.
Cats have fewer toes on their back paws. We've already talked about that.
That's true. I forgot about that.
I discovered that. Cats only have four toes on their back paws and five toes on their front.
Well, Wendy, we'd like a little bit of wetter water that, in Washington State.
That tiny pocket in your jeans was designed to store pocket watches.
Oh, not condoms?
Mm-mm. Turkeys.
Kathleen, where can people...
Turkeys can blush. Most Disney characters wear gloves to keep animation simple.
Oh, wow.
The man with the deepest voice in the world can make sounds that humans can't hear.
That I've heard of. Avi Kaplan from formerly of Pentatonix could make really low sounds.
Cows don't have upper front teeth.
So do some people I know. A couple of my relatives. Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
Webgirl Kathleen on everything. How about you, Bethany?
Radio Bethany on Twitter, Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram. What about our show, Kathleen? Where can people find it?
Bananas grow upside down.
With a bit of wetter water.
There were active volcanoes on the moon when dinosaurs were alive.
You can find our podcast on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
Dogs sniff good smells with only their left nostril.
On Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast. We also have a Facebook page and an awesome group.
Avocados were named after reproductive organs.
You can send us an electronic mail at acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com. We also have a post office box, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey 07030.
The word fizzle started as a type of fart.
You can call us and leave us a voicemail. We play those voicemails at the end of every episode. Call us 917-994-0353.
There is no number before the number 1000 that contains the letter A.
Our podcast is edited by Charlotte Gartenberg. You can follow her on social media on Twitter at Shargar, on Instagram at lit_fuck.
You can thank the Greeks for calling Christmas Xmas.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
The U.S. government saved every public tweet between the years 2006 and 2017.
Oh, no. And Taste Buds, this is what you had to say this week.
Theodore Roosevelt had a pet hyena.
Hi, Taste Buds. I have a really fun PSA, just to kind of lighten the mood a little, and that is take a walk on recycling day. I recently took a walk on recycling day, and I noticed that a lot of my neighbors are drinking just like my husband and me. So it was very justifying and satisfying to see that most of my neighbors are drinking beer and a lot of my neighbors are drinking IPAs, which means they have pretty good taste in beer. Only a few had Bud Light in their garbage. So if you are looking for just a little lighthearted activity, take a walk on recycling day.
Hi, ladies. It's Melissa. I'm totally having a fangirl moment, and it's over you, Kathleen, because you just requested to follow me on Instagram. After exchanging a couple of DMs back and forth this morning, I just want to let you know, like, I was in the drive-thru of Sonic, and I got the, like, request, and I had a huge freak out, and the people think I'm crazy, and that's fine. I don't care. I love you ladies so much, and I'm so excited. Also, please don't be bored with the fact that I never post anything except for occasionally animal pictures or pictures of my classroom. Love you, ladies.
Hey, ladies, just calling in regards to the latest episode. First off, I do want to say, Kathleen, I am so sorry that the thing with Neil and Peloton has been triggering for you. I think Bethany gave very solid advice as far as communicating what kind of verbiage he should be using with you, just to be sensitive to the fact that you're going to hear something and you're not going to take it exactly how he might mean it because of the underlying issues, which is your eating disorder. So with that being said, I also want to share some insight, maybe from his perspective. I know when you got the Peloton and you guys brought him on air to break the news to him, and I might be wrong, but it was my understanding and read that he was really upset because it was a big purchase. And you agreed on there that it wouldn't become another, like, ornament. So maybe he's so upset about how big the purchase is that he's forgetting how, you know, heavy his words are. And so I think he's just kind of saying the wrong things because his worry is about the money, where he's totally forgetting that he needs to be sensitive to you.
Hi, ladies. I am a longtime fan, even before the podcast. I've been listening since day one, and I have never, I've always thought about calling. I've had lots of things to say to you all in my head about lots of different subjects, but I've never actually gone out and called or emailed until now, because I just read an article on Facebook about a woman that goes on a Tinder date and poops in the bathroom of her Tinder date, but then it won't flush. So she takes the poop out and hides it in her purse. And the date's going really well, and they're making out, and he's, like, in love with her. And all she can think about is the fact that she has fished out a piece of poop from the toilet and hiding it in her purse so that he wouldn't know that she pooped in his bathroom. And I just thought to myself immediately, oh, my God, the taste buds, the girls, they need to know about this because it's just hilarious. And I posted it to the fan page, but, yeah. So just, like, a great dating story for all of your enjoyment, except for Bethany, because poop, you know.
Hi, taste buds. This is Jen from Jersey. This message is for Kathleen, because I was just listening to the most recent podcast that was released, and I just wanted to comment on the Peloton, and I wanted to say, unfortunately, Neil definitely dropped the ball on this one, and I really agree with you, Kathleen, and all your feelings are 100% valid, and, you know, you shouldn't have to feel that way. But Bethany nailed it. And I have to say, I also have been on the other side of this, and I recently made my husband feel pretty shitty about, you know, just dieting in general. And I made some comments about drinking beer, and, you know, I'm totally guilty of it. So I definitely can relate on that front. And, it opened my eyes, and I realized I need to do that less.
Hey, Kathleen. Hey, Bethany. First of all, I just want to say thank you very much for what you are doing for all of us. Your podcast has helped me through some crazy-ass times in my life, and I just want to thank you. And now the reason I called. I'm scared. I just found out that my son's school isn't going to start until maybe October, and that I have to pretty much homeschool him or do online schooling from, like, September to possibly October, and I'm scared. I'm scared of fucking up. Pardon my French, but I'm really just scared. I'm scared of the unknown, and I'm not good at teaching, and I think every teacher out there that is listening to this, I thank you guys. Yous are angels sent from above. I don't know how yous do it, how yous handle 15 to 20 kids in one classroom at, like, 5 years old. I don't know how you do it. because me having to handle my 1 5-year-old is scaring the crap out of me. I love you guys. Your podcast has brightened up my day, has calmed me down when I need something, or even I just need reassurance. The group on Facebook has helped me so much. I love you guys.